right, let's all stand together tonight for the reading of the Word of God, please. All stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Now, I guess you see I got my chair behind me tonight, and I do intend to sit down in it when I get done reading. And not because I want to, but because necessity has been laid upon me. About 10 minutes to 6 tonight, my blood pressure was still down to about 84 over 58. And so, and standing up. And so I feel like maybe I need to kind of take it easy tonight and give you a little Sunday school lesson, okay? And do my best. If I get excited, I may throw this chair plumb through the wall back there. I don't know. You never know what you're doing. God gets a hold of you in the right way. And but anyhow, I'm going to have to try to utilize it tonight. Try not to be too boring. If I am, I'll just read through what I get in my notes and we'll head to the house. All right, 1 John chapter number 2 in your Bibles. 1 John chapter number 2 in your Bibles. And verse number 7. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 7. We'll be in reading there. John writing. John the Beloved. And he begins writing in verse 7 by saying, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which ye had heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Let's bow together and ask God's help on the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day that you've given us. This is a day the Lord has made. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. You've given it to us. You've set it aside for us and for our blessing, that we might come to the house of God and meet with you. And Lord, the only way we can meet with you is if you meet with us. And I pray that you will tonight, simply by moving our hearts for Christ, helping us, Lord, to overcome fears and apprehensions of life, helping us to overcome anything that would stand between us and thee, that our fellowship might be perfect in God and with one another. I pray that the light of God will shine upon this place tonight. And Lord, that you'll expel all darkness. I pray that you'll give great liberty to your people. Bless their hearts for being here. I pray, Father, that you'll strengthen their faith in thee, to help them to stand in these last days, these sinful days that we're living in. Give us grace tonight in our hearts. Help us, I pray, Lord, as we stand tonight to preach. Give us the power and the unction of the Spirit of God. I do pray that precious souls will come to know Christ. And Lord, that your people find help and your name will be glorified. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you. And we can all be seated tonight. Amen. I don't know what I look like up here. I hope I don't look like a fool. Amen. But this is just not me. I'm telling you, this is not me. Don't start laughing, Brother Ricky. I'm telling you, we'll cut this thing off right now. All right. You know, the text that I read tonight out of 1 John, there's at least two times in that text that the Bible mentions the word hatred, or if a man hateth his brother. And so I preached this some time ago. I want to preach it to us tonight, Lord being our helper, and preach to you for a little while on the origins of hatred. Somebody said, "Preacher, that's not a very good message to preach on a Sunday night." Well, you know, I think that we all need to have some idea in our heart of where hatred come from and what hatred is and where it can lead to. It's a terrible, terrible emotion to have in our lives, and a terrible affection. It is an affection, by the way. And it is a terrible, terrible thing for a man or a woman to have in their life. In fact, it's condemning. The Bible said that if a man hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. Not just some time ago, but even until now. Now, the natural affections that God gave Adam when he created him and placed him in the garden were lost when Adam fell. And that which he should love, he hates. And that which he hates, he now loves. And somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, a man ought to hate sin. And he ought to love the Lord. But when Adam fell and sinned against God, that thing got all turned around. And man began to love sin more than he loved God. And somebody said, "Do you have any scripture for that?" Well, John chapter 3:19, the Bible said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, you know, that's a real stirring statement there that God made, that men love their sin really more than they love God. And they're not going to come to light. They'd rather live in darkness. They'd rather love darkness than they would light, because their deeds are evil. And the light of the gospel, men come to the light of the gospel, it's going to expose all sin that is in them. That's right. A light will always expose darkness that is in within man's heart. And so the natural affections of man were changed. And things that man hated, he now loves. And the things that he loved, he now hates. And that's the way it is with that world out there that's lost and going to hell. They may not realize that, but that's an absolute fact tonight. They love their sin more than they love God. And they love their sin more than they love the house of God. And they love their sin more than they love the Word of God. In fact, they are in love with their sin. I really believe that a lost man loves his sin more than he loves his family. I believe he loves his sin more than he loves his wife. How can a man that hates his brother and lives in darkness, how can he possibly love his wife or his family as he ought to, or anyone else as far as that goes? I personally believe that it is an impossibility. And thus the divine work of grace is to renovate and to restore the disordered affections to their right place and to fix them upon the proper objects. Thank God for the grace of God. When grace of God enters into a man or a woman's life, it restores that individual back to their spiritual condition, we might say, that Adam had in the garden. And as it renovates and restores the disordered affections in their life, it brings them to a proper perspective upon the objects of their true love. Now, the one or the other, that is, love or hatred, will inevitably regulate and dominate our life. You can just mark that down. I'm going to tell you, there are some hate mongers in this world today. There are some people out there that hate everything. You know, I think that some of them even hate themselves. And there's many, many hate mongers in this world today. And a man will either dominate his life, or hatred will dominate his life. And there's only one way that love can dominate a man's life, and that's for the love of God to be shed abroad in his heart. In fact, the Bible said that the Spirit of God that was given unto us, when it was given unto us, that the love of God was shed abroad in a man's heart. And a man that is saved tonight is a man of love. We love the Lord. We love one another. We love the house of God. And that's right. And we do love our brother, by the way. I don't have much confidence in a man's salvation that does not love his brother. The Bible said if he doesn't love his brother, he is in darkness even until now. And God gave a commandment. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know, you preach on love today, and most Baptist preachers want to call you liberal. But I'm here to tell you that love is the pinnacle of the Christian experience. Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, which is love. But of the three, charity is definitely the greatest.
And that is the pinnacle of the Christian experience. The Bible said that God is love. And God is making us into His own image. And if God is love, then we ought to be love also. We ought to love even as God loved. And we ought to love others even as God loved us and gave Himself for us. And we certainly ought to love our brother as God loves us and gave Himself for us. And if we love our brother like we say that we do, we will be willing to lay our life down for him, even as Christ laid His life down for us. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad that Christ loved us enough to lay our life down. I wonder, do we love one another in this church tonight enough to lay down our life for one another? That is, to give ourselves out to one another. Come on, to lay ourselves out for one another. That is, to try to do our best to please our brother more than we please ourselves. To try to love our brother more than what we love ourselves. Come on now. Somebody say amen right there. You love yourself, you'll wind up getting in trouble one of these days. If you're not careful, hey, you ought to love God. You ought to love your brother, and you ought to love the house of God. I want to say the human heart is a soil that must produce a crop of some sort. It cannot lie fallow, and it can't. The heart is not fallow ground, and it cannot lay fallow. It is a soil that must produce a crop of something. And it'll either produce love or it'll produce hatred. It'll either produce good or it'll produce wrong, one of the two. But it will not lie dormant, I'll assure you of that. There's a lot of things I say. And by the way, the devil is the chief of it all. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He hated from the very beginning, I believe, with all of my heart. He was so filled up with wrath and envy and jealousy of God that he hated God and sinned against God. The Bible said that he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in him. And when iniquity was found in him, he lost that exalted position. And when Adam sinned in the garden, he lost his exalted position. And when he lost his exalted position, all mankind lost their position. That's right. And so we learned to hate rather than love. But when God came to where we were and lifted us out of the depths of sin and began to teach us the Word of God, we begin to love as we're supposed to love one another and to love our God, amen, and to love our brethren even as we love ourselves, amen. Now, in the absence of the Spirit's fruit, it will produce weeds of sin. I want to run that by you again. If you're not saved tonight, your heart will produce weeds of sin rather than the fruit of the Spirit. And it's not fruits, it's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The heart that's full of love will produce these things. But a heart that is full of hatred, it'll bring forth weeds of sin. Ungodliness, wickedness, murmurings, complaining. I never seen such a murmuring crowd as that crowd that Moses brought up out of the land of Egypt. Every time that you read something about a problem that they had, they begin to murmur about God. In Numbers, I believe it's chapter 21, they murmured against the man of God. They murmured against the food God gave them, and they murmured against God Himself. You know why they did? Their hearts were full of that hatred. They had never come to that light and had the darkness of sin cast from them. They were still abiding in the darkness of sin and lost and without God. And their heart was bringing forth weeds of sin rather than words of kindness. Amen. I won't say that again. That sounded all right. There's weeds of sin and words of kindness that we can give to one another if we'll really try. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. He that is not with Christ, the Bible says, is against him. Matthew 12:30, the Bible said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. While life is absent, death is present. There's no question about that. When a man is not saved, there is death in that man. And when life comes in, death has got to flee. I could kick this chair over backwards right now and jump over the top of it and tell you that there was a time in my life when I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was dead. I had no life. But when Jesus passed by and spoke words of kindness to my heart and forgave me of my sin, He gave me life. And He not only gave me life, but He gave me life more abundantly. And He not only gave it to me more abundantly, but He gave it to me eternally. I can't understand how Armenians ever get the idea that you can sin and lose your salvation. Brother Foley, I've had a lot of them tell me you can, but I've never had any of them to tell me what sin you had to commit, or how far you had to go, how many sins you had to commit, or what sin you had to commit, or how far you had to go in sin before you could lose that salvation. I'm going to tell you how far Peter went into sin. He went so far into sin that he denied the Lord that bought him.
Right.
Amen. He denied that he ever knew the Lord. But I'm going to tell you one glimpse from those eyes of love and mercy. When the Lord looked upon Peter, those eyes of kindness and that look of grace and that love that flowed from the heart of Christ melted the heart of old Peter. And the Bible said that he went out and wept bitterly and repented of that sin against the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's probably some people in here tonight that need to go out and repent because your heart is not right with your brother. I'm not talking about just hating your brother now. I'm talking about being right with one another. I'm telling you, it is a time in our Baptist churches that we got thoroughly right with one another. Amen. Come on in the house, young people. Hallelujah to God. That's right. There's so much fussing and arguing and fighting in most Baptist churches. It is no wonder that we can't have the power and the presence of God when there's fighting and fussing among us and envy and jealousy and strife among us. You know there is every evil work in the house of God. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying sitting in this chair. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you that. Now, the attributes of light, the antithesis of light is darkness. And there is no twilight in the kingdom of heaven. I want to run that by you again. The antithesis of light is darkness, and there's no twilight in heaven. Somebody in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? There's no in between. In other words, you're either lost or you're saved. You're either in light or you're in darkness. You either love your brother or you hate your brother. It's as simple as that. Somebody said, preacher, I know a lot of people that are lost and they don't hate their brother. Then you're telling me something that's contrary to the Word of God. For the Bible said that if a man is not in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that he hates his brother. Come on in the house now. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. And so that antithesis of light is darkness, and there is no twilight. There's no in-between. There is no gray area, Brother Joel. There's no gray area. You're either in or you're out. You're either on the ark or you're in the waters. Now, I'm glad, thank God, I'm in the ark tonight. Thank God I'm not in the waters of judgment, but I'm in the ark of safety by the grace of God. Amen. I feel good when I said that. Thank God I'm glad when the door opened on that ark and Christ said, enter in. I'm glad by His marvelous grace and through His lovely voice, I entered into that ark and you found safety when they shut the door behind me. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Well, I dropped my, I'm going to have to stand up now. I dropped my hanky. Can't preach without my hanky, you know. That's my, what do them kids call them blankets? Or, huh? So that's my security blanket. I can't sit in this stupid thing. I'll tell you, this is crazy. You ought to be on rollers. Ought to get this thing on rollers or something. We got rid of both them motor scooters back there. I'm not lying to you. If we hadn't got rid of both of them, I'd done made up my mind I was going to get in one of them some night when I walked back there when I got ready to preach. And come rolling out here in it, boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, if I drove it the way I did back there, you better get out of the way. I run the whole building down. Amen. They thought that. God said, you need to get a driver's license, preacher. I'm telling you, they're not as easy to handle as what you think they are. Amen. Now, he that is in light, he that is not in light is in darkness. And he that loves not his brother must therefore hate him. That's what the Bible says. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. If that man is in darkness, then he must hate his brother. But when Christ saved us, the light of Christ, He is the light of the world. And when that light shined in our heart and the day star and the morning star rose in our heart, He filled it full of love. And we learned how to love one another. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, and the human heart may be like the house that was cleansed and garnished, but still left vacant. Morality may, to some extent, restrain the passions and beauty of the outward character. But unless love is enthroned, hatred must inevitably establish the reign of darkness. I want to run that by you again. Unless love is enthroned in a person's heart, it's inevitably that sin and darkness will reign in that individual's heart and in his life. Unless light is enthroned upon that man's heart. Unless love sets upon your heart and rules and reigns your life. May I say to you tonight that love ought to rule our life. It is a rule of life. Somebody said, how do you know? Because God loved the world and gave His Son. And Christ loved sinners and gave His life. And you and I are to love one another and lay down our lives for each other.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, listen very carefully. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. To hate is to despise. That's pretty deep, isn't it? I mean, that's he that hates despises. That word despise is a terrible word. And it is to detest and to hold another in utter contempt. It is not a transient notion of the affections, but a deeply rooted species of loathing. Hatred is all for injury. In other words, it's concerned about injury, not help, but injuring someone. It is a murderous lust which desires the destruction of its object. You know, nobody ever hated like the devil hated the Lord. And he tried every way possible from day one in the garden till he died on the cross and rose from the grave. He tried every way possible. He hated Christ so much that he tried everything possible to destroy him. Now, I'm telling you, there are people that have concealed hatred in their heart. They can look you in the face and smile at you and tell you how much they love you, and yet they hate you more than they love you. Amen? That is exactly right. They hate you, and they'll do what they can to eventually destroy your life if they possibly can get by with it. I'm going to tell you, there's a fellow in the Bible by the name of Joab that if you read about Joab, you would think that he loved David to the letter. But I'm telling you, sin was found in his heart in the latter years of his life. When he went out with Absalom, and he really went out with Absalom when he was riding with David. Somebody say amen right there. When Absalom sinned against his own daddy and led a rebellion against David, Joab went out with David, but his heart had already been turned toward Absalom. Now I'm telling you, that man was as two-faced and double-minded as any man could be, and his life and heart was full of hatred. He killed at least two innocent men, and David said that their blood was upon his hands and not upon mine or not upon Israel's hands, but upon him, and they walked. Joab slew two innocent men. And I'm going to tell you, God hold him accountable for that. Now, let me start three things and I'm done. Hatred, where does it originate? May I say it originates in an evil heart. When I think about the story of Cain and Abel, and there come a time when they were to bring their offerings to God. And there came old Cain, and he brought the offerings of his hands, his own works and his own labors, what he could do, what I've done. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never work enough to be saved. It is a ridiculous thought to believe that a man can work enough, have enough good works to get himself to heaven. So he brought the offering of his hands, I believe it was vegetables, and brought them to God for an offering. But Abel brought the first of the flock. He brought a lamb, what he was instructed to bring. The Bible said, and God showed favor to Abel in his offering, but to Cain in his offering, he rejected it. Oh, no, Cain, hey, he couldn't stand that. Cain got upset, and his heart became inflamed with jealousy. Cain became jealous because Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and his wasn't. You know, jealousy is a horrible thing. In fact, Solomon said in Solomon 8:6 that jealousy is cruel as a grave. Now, I'm telling you that, by the way, young people, jealousy can get in the hearts of young people at an early age, and when they're early in life. Now, I'm telling you, if you become jealous of somebody because they may have something that you think you ought to have that they have and you don't have it, I'm telling you, it'll destroy your life if you let that dwell on that thing. There's probably young ladies that may be listening to me tonight, and they may have the idea that, well, so-and-so over here, they're better looking than I am. And pardon this, but they may think, they got a better body than I got. And they may grow jealous of that person because they're that way. Well, I want to remind you, that's the way God made them. We ought never to be jealous about that. There's a little sparks, few sparks are flying around in here today. I asked one young man today, I said, what's your blood pressure? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, what's your heart rate? And he said, about 400. Today's Valentine's, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I said, what's your sugar level? Y'all didn't catch it, neither did he. But his sister got a hold of it. She knew exactly what I was talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Cain became jealous of Abel because that sacrifice was accepted and his wasn't. The Bible said about that jealousy in Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy is the rage of man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. That is, if a man, hey, it's the rage of man, and if jealousy crops up in his heart, when he gets an opportunity, he is going to take vengeance on somebody. He is going to get revenge on somebody for that. Amen. That's right. That's the way a lot of men are. I believe that's what I know that that Judas Iscariot was a devil from the beginning. But I'm telling you, for some reason, I can't help but to think that there was jealousy in his heart. You can think what you want. I believe he was Ahithophel incarnate. And I believe Ahithophel was the devil incarnate, making Judas the devil incarnate. Come on in the house. That's what I believe. I don't make no apologies for. And he had the same jealousy toward Jesus that Ahithophel had toward David, that Satan had toward Christ, and their hearts were full of hatred. And when they got an opportunity to betray somebody, they did it. They did it. And I'm telling you, a man today that's full of jealousy will do the same thing. And when Abel had an opportunity, through that jealousy, it finally led to rebellion. And when he got an opportunity, that jealousy brought rebellion, and he took vengeance upon his own brother. Jesus told him, said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, he said, sin lieth at the door. In other words, the Lord said, you can still repent and recover, but he wouldn't do it. That's right. You know why? His heart was full of hatred. Now, I'm going to tell you, you take somebody that's full of hatred, they're not apt to get right with God. I'm telling you, people that have aught in their heart towards somebody else, if it ever builds up to hatred, I'm telling you, if you let it go too far, you'll never get that thing right in your heart. You'll never get that thing right in your heart. Brethren, we ought not to hate one another at all. If we hate one another, we're in darkness, we abide in darkness, we live in darkness, and there is no light in us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, there is none occasion of stumbling within us. Hallelujah to God. That's exactly right. Now jealousy set in, rebellion set in, and it led to murder. It led to murder. Cain met his brother Abel out in the field as they worked and killed him. There's hatred leading to murder. I'm going to read you a little 1 John 3:11 and 12, for it said, for this is the message that ye had heard from the beginning, that ye shall love one another. Now that's the message from the beginning, to love one another. Not as Cain who was of that wicked one. I didn't write that, God did. And if you've got anything to say about that, take it up with the Lord. Don't take it up with me. The Bible said that Cain was of that wicked one. Amen. That's right. He was of that wicked one. And he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. And 1 John 3:15 says this, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Oh, I remember when Elliot Smith preached that meeting here. He preached on murderers in the house of God. And he preached on people that hate their brother or hate somebody out there. So I said, well, I don't hate them. I just got a problem with them. No, why don't we? Hey, that's our problem. Why don't we get right about it and get biblical about it and just say, if we've got a problem with somebody out there, it's not just some little offended thing. We hate that person. Come on in the house, boys and girls. We hate that individual. Amen and amen. That's right. And there ain't no murderer going to heaven. Amen. Now I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of murderers sitting in churches tonight all over America. Amen. Amen. People that hate one another. Brother Matthias said when he first church he pastored, said it had 22 people. Said it had 2 football teams. Said 11 sat on this side and 11 sat on that side. And this side hated this side and this side hated this side. They couldn't none of them get right with God. Because they hated one another. Or hey, had problems with one another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can't be right with God with those kind of problems and that kind of hatred in your heart. Now I want to say the second origin of sin is an envious spirit. And I think of the life of Jacob and Esau. And Esau sold his birthright for one little pot of soup, one little bowl of soup. Can you believe that he sold his blessing? His birthright blessing. For a bowl of soup. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't count our salvation very highly today. He didn't. He sold it for a bowl of soup. And later sought repentance with tears, but he found no place to repent. Now, somebody said, well, couldn't he get in? No. He tried. He sought a place of repentance, but he had done put his toe over the line. He was full of envy and jealousy over his brother and threatened to kill his brother and murder his brother. And I'm going to tell you, there was no place of repentance in him. Amen. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I've said it and I've heard other people say it. I hate you. Oh, we better be careful with that. Right. Even as young people, we better be careful with that. Right. And as adults, we really better be careful with that. Amen. That may get us in real serious trouble. But Jacob received the blessing that Esau coveted. The Bible said in Genesis 27:41, and Esau hated Jacob. There it is. Got envious because he didn't get the blessing. And the Bible said that he hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of the mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother. In other words, my daddy's soon going to die, and I'm going to slay my brother. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Now, Isaac's supposed to be a spiritual man. Esau come out of his loins. You would think that both his boys were to be spiritual boys at the time. But Jacob come in and lied about who he was. And deceived his own daddy into believing that he was Esau. And then Esau came in for the blessing that he could not have. And the Bible said that he hated his own brother. But here's what I want to get to. Esau said the days of his father's mourning is at hand. And then he said, I'm going to kill Jacob. That is to say that my father's going to die and we're going to be mourning for him. Jacob will show up and when he does, I'm going to take his life. And I'm going to show you how spiritual they were. Between that statement and the time Jacob came back to his father's house, Isaac, when Jacob came back, Isaac was still alive. But he had been down in Padan long enough down at his father's brethren's house. He had been down there long enough to take on two wives, three or four concubines and have a dozen children, I'm going to tell you, it was more than just two or three years went by. There was a number of years went by, and all of them were so carnal that they thought the days of his death was at hand, but it wasn't. Well, Isaac lived a lot longer than he thought. Well, I'm going to tell you, hey, are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't see much spirituality there. Because Isaac thought he was bringing in Esau to give him the blessing. He was so carnal that he thought he was dying, and he wasn't. And Jake had come in and stole the blessing, and he was so carnal that he thought his daddy was dying, and he wasn't. And Esau come in and regretted not getting the blessing, and he thought his daddy was dying, and he wasn't. So they went, hey, they wasn't none of them right. They wasn't none of them right. But Esau hated his brother. And it said in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Ooh, boy, that hurts me. You'll catch that after a while. A sound heart. Let me find it. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. That heart gets bad. The flesh begins to go, doesn't it, gentlemen? It is the life of the flesh. Oh, having a hard time finding these things. But envy is the rottenness of the bones. In other words, envy rots away at the very inner man.
Yes, sir.
We better be careful how we envy what somebody else has. Or what somebody else has got that we don't have. Or what somebody else has got that we want. That is real envy. When somebody else has got something that we want that God's given them that we don't have. Better be careful. God may have given somebody a little bit more money than he's given us. Better be careful. Don't let envy fall. Hey, God given a man more possessions than he's given us. Better watch out for envy. I'm telling you, it gets in your heart. It'll destroy you, ladies and gentlemen. It'll turn into hatred. I won't say this. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Joseph's brothers hated him because of envy. And the Bible said in Genesis 37:4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Be careful how we speak to one another. Joseph's brothers hated him so bad, they could not speak comfortably unto him. They hated him. But here is what I want you to see out of that. They were envious of him, and they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now here's the thing. The problem is not Joseph's. The problem is Jacob's. Jacob is the one that loved Joseph more than the rest of his brethren, but yet they hated Joseph. If you ask me, if there was any hatred to be had, it ought to have been with Jacob, their own father. Joseph had not done nothing but be Joseph. But Jacob loved him more than he loved the rest of them. And they got envious about that, and they hated him. And they tried to put him to death, and then repented of that, and he got sold into a Midianite camel train and was sold into slavery down into Egypt. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Be careful tonight about the words that you speak to somebody else. And be careful that you get your P's and Q's right. Because it's not somebody's... I mean, and I want to use this. I want to use this. And God laid it on my heart, I'm going to use it. If the person's got a problem with it, he can give me a suplex or something like that, whatever they call it after the service. But Brother Chuck back there owns acreage, a lot of acres down here in Kentucky. He owns acreage in Tennessee. He owns acreage in Utah. Do you think I'm a bit envious about that? Not one bit. I praise God for it. I wish He'd give him 10 billion acres. I'm serious. Why should I fall out with him because God has blessed him in that way? If I fall out with him over that and become envious over that and want what he's got, that becomes lust. And where envy and lust is, there is every evil work, ladies and gentlemen. It brings confusion. That's right. We ought never to envy what somebody else has got. Well, never to want what somebody else has got. If God give it to them, that's between them and their Lord. And it's none of our business. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 9. The Bible said, and the patriarchs moved with envy. There's the word. And sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. God was still with him. They hated him, but God was still with him. Now I want to say, brethren, will you listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you? If you're saved by the grace of God tonight, if you're truly born again, you know you're in the ark, you know you've been to Calvary, washed in the blood, somebody may hate you. But be of good cheer. There's one that still loves you. God was still with Joseph, and God loved Joseph. And I don't care if the whole world turns against us and hates us. God still loves us. Hallelujah. He'll never love us anymore any less. God just loves us because He loves us. I'm not ready to throw this table down off the floor. God loves us tonight. God is love. And that love has been shed abroad in our heart for the purpose of loving Him and loving one another and loving sinners like we ought to. Amen. That's right. Now, hallelujah. They took their hatred out on the one loved rather than on him who loved him. That's envy and jealousy, which led to strife. And where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Those who hate others are envious of their fortitude under stress and their peace in the midst of tribulation. They're envious of their fortitude under stress. Well, I can't handle it. He handles it. Why can't I handle it? Why can't I handle it? They envy his peace that he has in the midst of tribulation. How come he don't get all shook up and I do? You ever been around somebody like that that can just handle anything? I'm going to tell you, my wife can do that. I told her the other night, I know I'm on the air. She started having all them heart things and her blood pressure went up to 170 something over 128, and your heart rate was 151. I said, get up, you're going to the doctor. She said, honey, just give me a little while. And I said, no, we're going to the doctor. We took it the same house. We kept on for an hour and a half and never did. And finally I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't go to the emergency room, don't you ever expect me to go. I mean, I lost it, buddy. I said, don't you ever expect me to. I'll never go to another emergency room if I die right here in your presence. I'll never go to another emergency room. I went over and sat down in that green chair and just turned my side. And I'm sitting there all puffed up. And the Lord said, have you considered prayer? So I just slid out of the chair there on my hands, on my feet rather, and put my hands to my face and put my hand down and begin to pray. God calmed my soul. Miss Hall, after a while, looked over at me and she said, honey, I never said a word. She said, honey, are you all right? I never said a word. A little while later, she said, Gary, sweetheart, you okay? Finally, I raised up and I said, if praying is okay, I'm okay. She knew right then I'd regained my composure after a little minute of prayer. And I'm going to tell you, when your heart gets in a turmoil like that, I hate to say this, but there's a little hint in my heart that she can sit there with her heart doing that. If that had been me, son, I'd have run to the emergency room myself. I wouldn't have waited around 2 minutes, son. I'd have been out the door. She wouldn't have took me. I'd have got brother called one of you men to come and get me. I wouldn't have called an ambulance. I told her, I said, she's laying there on the bed, and I give her 15 minutes, and I told her, I said, all right, I'll give you 10, I told her I'd give her 10 minutes, I said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, after 10 minutes, it's one of three things, it's either that van in that garage, or it's an ambulance, or I'm calling Lisa. She said, oh, for God's sake, don't call Lisa. But you know, the last time I took it with her laying down, it was way up, I'm talking about like her blood. Her heart rate was 148. I said, we're going. She said, well, let me step in here in the other room for a minute. So she come out and her cuff was still on. I said, well, sit down. Let me take it one more time. I took it one more time and it was 120-something over 70-something. Her heart rate was 92. And I said, what about that? And you know, what about, you know what I did? I didn't say, well, praise God. I'm glad you got feeling better. I said, I give God the glory. I'm not saying I'm a great praying man, but I'm going to tell you something. When I pray and something happens, I'm going to give Him the glory for it. Amen. And thank Him for answering prayer. And I believe with all of my heart, God heard my prayer. Yep. And God done what needed to be done. Maybe not so much for her as for me. I'm probably in more trouble than she was. Because I was about to have a heart attack the way it was. Amen. Now, I want you to listen carefully, and I'm done here in just a minute. Then there is hatred originates in an empty soul. A man or a woman without God, hatred will fill up in them. If a man hate his brother, his claim to salvation is invalid. Because how can you love God whom you've never seen and not love your brother who you see every day? His salvation is invalid. By hating somebody else. And folks, I'm going to tell you, cold shoulders don't get the job done. Not speaking to somebody don't get the job done. We ought to be warmly affectionate in our hearts when we come to church. We ought to be a people of warmth and love and tenderness. And we ought to, that's right, we ought to learn to speak to one another and care for one another. I'm going to tell you, we're a family. Somebody said, well, this is not my family. Well, if it ain't, there's the front door.
That's right.
Amen. This is your family. Yes. Your spiritual family. Right. Your church family. And we ought to learn to love one another with great passion. It is invalid, for his profession is repudiated by his conduct. His hatred reveals his conduct. If a man's conduct is to hate his brother, then he can't possibly be saved. He has mistaken an intellectual attainment for a spiritual experience. Men get it intellectually, but they don't get it spiritually
right.
In here.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, intellectually up here will soon wear off. And troubles will begin. And I'm going to tell you, people let some of the smallest little things, drive them away from God and away from the house of God. I'm going to tell you what my Bible says. Great peace have they which love the Lord, and nothing, mark that word, nothing shall offend them. That is, cause them to fall. That don't mean that you don't get upset. Somebody says something that don't hurt your feelings. That's not what that's talking about. But it don't cause them to fall. It don't cause them to depart from God and leave the house of God. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Now, he may indeed be charmed by the spirit of the gospel and admire sublime and transcendent ethics. He may extol its logical doctrines and profound depths. Nevertheless, the very light which he eulogizes is still something outside himself. I'm going to tell you, that light shined in darkness. But ladies and gentlemen, until that light shines in our heart, till that light shines in the heart of a sinner, he cannot be saved. And there's people that's got an intellectual, an intellectual faith that the light has shined, but not in them. Around them maybe, but not in them. Once that light shines in you, it lights the soul. And that soul will walk in the light because He is in the light.
Amen.
That's right. Now, he has never been experientially turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, nor has a day star arisen in his heart. A lost soul. Hatred will originate. Boy, I'm telling you, I've seen him, man. I've seen people that you know, that I know, that claim to be saved. I've seen hatred in their eyes and their face, and I've heard it in their words that they speak. Well, they know, somebody don't have to come right out and say, I hate you, for you to know they hate you. I don't know that the Bible ever said that they hated Jesus, but their conduct revealed it. They crucified it. Their conduct revealed that. That they hated him. They put him to death. They mocked him. They spit upon him. as he voluntarily gave his life for those that spit upon him and smote him and beat him. He gave his life for them. He was still in darkness. They had never seen that light. I'm wondering how many of them on the day of Pentecost, when that, was it 3,000 or 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost? I wonder how many of them was in that crowd that was so full of hatred that they walked around Christ and smote him and spit upon him, criticized him. I wonder how many of them on the day of Pentecost heard the gospel and got saved. I'd say some of them did. Some of them say, well, how could they get saved, Brother Hall? Easy. Repent!
Right.
Ain't that what Peter told them? Repent!
Amen.
Men and brethren, what must we do? Repent!
Amen.
That's what man's got to do.
Yes,
sir. Just repent. Let's stand together.